love you too, Pastor Matthew.
We have the sweetest staff here. We have a staff of people who love the Lord so much and just want to do what He wants us to do. And it's been a joy to be able to be a part of that staff and be able to get to know them a little bit more. And then it's been such a joy to get to know all of you. I mean, sometimes when I'm laying around at home and I think, oh, I got to get cleaned up and I got to go in Thursday night to teach, sometimes I think, oh, Lord, you know, like I'm getting old. And then I remember how fun it is. As soon as I get there, and I just, it's just such a delight to see people who are fully committed and devoted to Jesus, even to a point where they'll attend a class all year long. And they want to do what Jesus wants them to do. Or Wednesday night, people will come out and they'll want to learn, they want to know more. And it's been such a joy to get to know all of you. So anyway, just wanted you to know that you feel like family to me. And so thankfully, you feel like family, because here I am up in front of you. Yeah. So today, as I was sitting in worship, I felt like the Lord said there's somebody here who's sitting in this room who's getting called into vocational ministry today. And whoever you are, I felt the Lord said that you're not going to be just, you're going to go to the nations. Like, you're not going to just be a preacher. You're going to be a preacher, but you're going to go all across the nations. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now for what you're doing in this room today in this person's heart. And, Father, we just pray right now that you would just, like, yeah, you would surround that person, Lord, and that you would just make yourself known to them right now. Father, we thank you for this calling you put on this person's life. And we just pray that anything that would hold them back from that would be broken through right now, and that there would be a release right now of all that you want to do in their life right now, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ah, the cross. Do you remember what he did? I believe the story of the cross has become so prominent in our culture and our society now that sometimes we don't even think about it. But Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And constantly I hear him say, remember me. And I know what he means. He means remember what I did. So some of you are sitting here in this room and you're wondering, why did he have to do that? Why did he have to die? Well, let's be reminded of what we read in Genesis 2 and 3. That there was a fall of man. Mankind was created, and they walked in the garden. They fellowshiped with God. Every day God would come, and they would hear his sound, and they would know it's him. They lived in this beautiful place. Genesis tells us that he actually made Eden. He made the garden, and then he set man in it. And he intended for mankind to live that way for all the rest of their days. But he told them, don't eat of that tree. And guess who snuck in? The enemy, who still sneaks into our life sometimes today and tries to whisper in our ear and tell us things. The enemy snuck in and told them, oh, you can eat of that tree. It's not a problem. It's not going to be a problem. So they believed the lies, they ate of the tree, and from that point on, well, God banished them from the garden so they wouldn't eat of the other tree. And so in doing that, mankind was sitting in a place where every person born into humankind came born with a carnal nature. And came in a place where it was easy for us to sin and to do things that God would not be pleased with. But then the good news. Yeah, Then the good news. The good news is that Jesus came to restore that fellowship again. Yeah. He said, come on, let's go back to the garden with what he did. If you don't know about this story, what he did was he came to this earth. He was God. First, or John 1 tells us that he was God. Tells us that in the beginning, he was God. He was with God. And nothing was created without him. He was God. And then he put on flesh. Yeah. That right there was enough. Yeah. Because to go from being God to putting on flesh and having to live with all the infirmities that we live with and all the sorrows that we can live with, he chose to do that because he wanted nothing more than for us to have an opportunity to get back into the garden, into a place where we could walk with him, we could talk with him, we would know his sound. That's what he wanted for us. That's what the Father wanted for us. That's what the Son wanted for us. So he came and he became flesh. Born of a woman, lived the life. Can you imagine creating the woman? Being there in the beginning and creating the woman. And then being born of that woman. And then having her raise you up, train you up. Can you imagine that? Talk about humility. Yeah, that's what he did for us. To give up what he gave up, so that we could get what we now know that we can have, that was huge. Now, if you haven't found that you walk in the garden with him, I just want you to know he wants you to find it. He wants you to find the garden. He wants you to find that place where you will walk and talk with him, that you will be driving down Eagle Road, the busiest road in the state of Idaho, for those of you who are going to be watching online and don't know this. And he can tell you to get in the left-hand lane because that's going to be safer for you. Or he could tell you to get in the left-hand lane because you're going to get there faster and he knows you're late. That's the kind of relationship that he paid for. He paid for on that cross. And oh, what he had to go through on that cross. You know, I've never seen any of the movies about Jesus on the cross because I didn't think I could take the graphicness of it. But Jesus just showed it to me one day. And, oh, I saw him enduring all this ridicule, all of this people spitting on him, people mocking him, people calling him the King of the Jews, and literally putting a royal robe on him, even though he was dripping in blood. I saw him in a vision. I saw him doing that. He just allowed me to see it in my mind's eye. Wait a minute. I'm not sure that one was a mind's eye. I do think that was actually an open vision, where literally I thought I was standing right in front of Jesus. And you know that they whipped him 39 times? That's 39 times. The reason why they did that, because 40 people died. So he was just this close to death. And then they took the top part of that cross and dropped it on his back. It wasn't smooth, sanded, the way we see wood around here in this building. It was rough and it was rugged. And they dropped that cross on that skin that literally looked, to me, when I saw it, it looked like raw hamburger meat, so lacerated. So torn apart for our sins, for our iniquities. That's what he did. He paid the price because he wanted us to be able to get back in the garden. How good is that? How good is that? He wanted us to have this kind of relationship with him where we could know him. I told you I'd never preach a sermon without this one. But John 17:3 says, and this is, Jesus said, an eternal life is to know the Father and to know the Son whom he sent. It's to know him. It's not just to get to heaven. It's to know him here on this earth. Eternal life starts right here and now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If it didn't start here and now, it'd be really difficult to live this life, wouldn't it? Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you did on that cross. Ah, oh, the cross. You know, God really loves you. If he would do that, he would humble himself, be born of a woman, put on flesh, live his life perfectly, without sin. And all the while, he knew what his fate was. He knew ahead of time. If you read the Gospels, you'll see that he actually knew this was coming at him. Because he prayed the night before, Father, would you take this cup from me? If it's possible, would you take this cup from me? He knew what was coming. And you know, he could have even chosen to walk away. In his humanity, he had the opportunity to walk away. I'm just always blown away every time I read the accounts of when he was about to be stoned. And the word says, I mean, he's surrounded by people. They are all picking up stones to stone him. Somehow he makes it through that crowd. Says he hid himself. Well, how did he hide himself? What ability did he have to hide himself? And then when they gathered around him at another time and they're going to throw him off of a cliff, what did he do? He was able to walk through the crowd. So if he was able to walk through the crowd, like he certainly could have walked through the crowd, even if he had changed his mind, like, okay, I'll do this thing. I will go to the cross. But if he changed his mind at the last minute, I do believe he had the ability to walk away. But he didn't. He did that so that we could have this beautiful, wonderful, experiential relationship with him. I feel like some of you may have heard this story before, but I feel like the Lord wants me to share it. And that is that one time I was getting a therapeutic massage from a massage therapist, and she was somebody I don't normally go to. And she said, as she was working on me, she laid her elbow on my spine and it hurt so bad, and I had to ask her to do it, not to do that. And then I started talking to the Lord. While she's working on me, I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm like going, Lord, can you tell me what I can do to get out of here? Like, what can I say? You know, he says, get in the left hand lane on Eagle Road. So Lord, how do I get out of this? Tell me some nice words I can say to get me out of this. I want to be done with this. And he said, don't leave. And I said, why? And he said, she has too many demons. And I was like, oh, then I really want to go. So Lord, let's give me some words to get, you know, like this conversation is going on. I'm like, give me some words to get out of this. And he says, don't go. Tell her she's beautiful. Tell her she's like a rare orchid. And as I began telling her everything that I was hearing over her, all of a sudden I noticed that her hands were no longer touching me. So I opened my eyes and big tears were running down her face. She said to me, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. She had told me she'd only been in the United States for 2 days. She had come over from an Asian country, and she was now working in the U.S. And she said, with tears running down her face, she said, you can contact your God. Really? Tears running down her face. She said, you can contact your God? I said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. That's who he is. That's what he paid the price for. That's why he went to the cross, so that we could have a relationship with him. The same kind of relationship that we were planned to have from the very, very beginning. We were planned to walk in the garden and talk with him and to know him and to know his love. That's how much he loved us, right? Yeah. All right. Turn to your neighbor and tell somebody, God loves you.
God loves you.
All right. Make sure you get them on both sides. There you go. Hmm. So, now let me get to my message. When I asked the Lord what he wanted this message to be about, he said, from love, in love, and through love. Isn't that cool? Can you guys see? From love, in love, and through love. Well, I could have guessed in my mind what he meant by that, but what happened over the next few weeks is every time I would see somebody doing something really out of, you know, kindness, I would hear the Holy Spirit say, as they're doing it, I would hear him say, from love. Or I'd be listening to a message online and the speaker would say something and then I'd hear the Holy Spirit say, from love. And then, you know, it just kind of continued for like weeks. I kept asking him, okay, Lord, you want me to preach this message, then please tell me what it's about. And so he just kept doing that. He kept like showing me and everything that was happening throughout the weeks. And this is what he said. The purpose of this message is for us to all walk in love. So I know what's coming to your mind. Okay, she's going to tell me I need to start baking more cookies and taking it to my neighbor. I need to forgive them because, you know, they threw trash in my yard that time, but, right? But no. All right, let's delve. I think it means a little bit more than that. It means that, but it means more. So let's take a look here let's take a look, first of all, at the scripture that we all know the very best. Let's all say it together, John 3:16. So loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Ah, that's what he did for us. So as a result, God wants us, because of everything Jesus made available to us, he wants us to live from love, in love, and through love. So let's take a look at that a little closer. All right, let's look at how to live from love. So, from love, Jeremiah 31:3. If you'll all turn in your Bibles, look on your Bible apps, or look at the screen. He wants us to know this. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Okay, would you read that verse again and picture yourself, put your name in there, and instead of the word you, to say, I have loved Jamie. Put your own name in. I have loved with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Obviously, he's drawn you, or you wouldn't be sitting in this service today, or you wouldn't be watching this online, right? He's drawn you. And he's drawn you, what does this verse tell us? Why? Because he loved you. He loved you that much. Psalm 36:7. By the way, I have a lot of scripture for you. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Psalm 36:7 says, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Okay, so if you're sitting here in this room and you don't feel loved by God, there might be something that needs to be broken off. It's possible, because you should feel loved by God based on what we talked about already. What he did on the cross, right? He paid this incredible price for us to live in his righteousness and therefore be able to walk in the garden with God and talk with him and commune with him. And yet, if you're sitting here today, you know, and you're just like, wow, I don't feel loved. Then seriously, What I'd like to do is pray right now and pray that this message would help break that off. You know, I can talk all I want, but if y'all aren't praying and asking God to open your ears and eyes for what he has for you, then you'll be missing out, right? So what if he actually wants to break something off of you that's holding you back from his love? I don't know. Maybe you didn't get loved as a kid as much as you should have, and so it's been hard for you, you know? But honestly, he would love to set you completely free. He is the deliverer, you know? That's why they call him that. So let's just pray right now. And let's pray. Just take a moment to pray. And ask him if there's anything right now that's separating you from him or separating you from knowing his love. Sometimes he'll bring something to your mind. A thought will drop in your head or a picture will drop in your head. So now let's go into prayer, and let's just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, anything that's blocking me from God is not of God. So it has to go. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just ask that you would come. Come, Lord. Fill me with your truth. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with your truth, Lord. That you love me with an everlasting love. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. An everlasting love. If you're still not sure of that, write that verse up. Put it on your dresser, put it on your mirror, and state it every day. You actually are loved with an everlasting love, no matter what you do. You're loved. Psalm 37:7. How priceless is your unfailing love, oh God. It's so priceless. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us. Sorry, I have 4:16. 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us. I have a different version. I'm going to read that one. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is love. He literally, it's one of the names he calls himself. He is love. So you can trust him that he loves you. That's like his nature. That's who he is, right? 1 John 4:18. We need to have, this is my version, says, we need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows us that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. Okay, let's pray again. Lord, help us to be fully convinced that you love us, because we want to live our lives from love. How differently our life is if we live from love. If we can trust the love of the Father, we can trust that he loves us, then we don't live in fear that, we're not good enough. We're not kind enough. We're not gracious enough, right? We can move away from that fear. Yes, we can be convicted, and the Lord will help us to change our ways, but we don't have to live in that identity. We can live in the fact that we are loved by the Father. Would you put that last scripture that we just had up back on? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Yeah. You know what love does for us? Like, we feel completely accepted. And instead of going to the Father and thinking he's going to punish us, instead, the Father just helps us be a better person. Have you noticed that when he talks to you? I've never heard him hitting me over the head and saying, "You're so bad. You're so terrible." No, he just shows me a better way. He teaches me in the most precious way. Doesn't he do that? Yes. That's the kind of God that we have. Mm-hmm. So, John 4:18. Next one is Psalms 86:15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. If you're worried that he's a God who's ready for retribution, you might want to write this one down and say it over and over again until you believe it. You know that there's power in your words, right? So if you've been raised thinking that God is a God of condemnation, then you need a verse like this. You need to be stating these things to yourself over and over again. Yeah. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast meaning that it's always there. It doesn't go away. It's not like, oh, you screwed up, and now I'm not sure if I love you anymore. No. Right there, there's the proof. He's abounding in steadfast love. Abounding means really a lot of steadfast love. Yes. All right, our next verse is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing. Wait. Let me read it in the version I have up, which is NIV. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Oh, he's rejoicing over you with singing. Isn't that good news? This might be a good one to post on your mirror or on your dresser and read this a few times over and over. He's actually rejoicing over you with singing. He's not sitting up there trying to figure out what it is that you're doing wrong. He loves you. And he's rejoicing over you. And he's really ready to help you in every way. This reminds me of my little grandson, who is the cutest little redhead. He's almost three. And he says the cutest little things, I'm telling you. Why don't you come over here with Nana? And he says, Mason's going to go over with Nana. He makes the decision. So as I'm watching him, you know, I can't even tell you the love that pours out of me for him. In the same way the Father, he feels that same way about you. Like, even though Mason screws up, and sometimes he says, no, Mason's going to go over here. I still love him. Right? I love him, and I just want to teach him how to listen and how to obey. Right? That's how our good, good Father is. And even if you're messy, like, you know, Pastor Lynn in particular, he was talking about, you know, the baby, the new baby that's in their life, and how sometimes babies are really, really messy. Sometimes they're really, really smelly. But that doesn't take away from his love for his grandson, right? In the same way, the Father is the same way. He knows sometimes you're messy. Sometimes you don't get it quite right, but he still loves you because he has this steadfast love. And not only does he have a steadfast love, he abounds in love. Yeah. I think that I had a moment where the Lord, I had an experience. Like, I can tell you how much God loves you. You can read these scriptures and you can try to believe that he loves you. But it might help to actually ask him to tell you how much he loves you, to experience his love for you. I just want you to know that that is possible. I had a life-changing experience when God showed me his love for me. And I felt actually overwhelmed by his love. I felt like baptized in love. That's possible. So he, at the time, I didn't even know it was possible. So because it happened to me and I didn't even know that's one of the options, I can tell you that if you begin to ask him to baptize you in his love, ask him. He's a good, good father, and he loves to give good gifts to his children. Yeah, the word tells us that in Matthew 7:11, another one of my favorites, which says, who of you, even though you are of an, you know, an earthly human nature, who of you would give a stone to your child if he asked for bread, or would give a serpent to your child if he asked for a fish because he's hungry? No, Matthew 7:11 goes on to tell us, how much more would the Father in heaven give good gifts? Because he's a heavenly Father, a good Father, a loving Father, a Father who always loves and abounds in love. So ask him. Ask him to let you experience his love. Ask him to baptize you in his love. And he'll do that. He's so good like that. All right, so John, 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. And my version, I think, which is English Standard Version, says, so you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. Right? He's been so good to reach out to us, to draw us in. We're one of the few who that have been drawn today. That's why we're sitting here today. So he loves us that much that he loved us first. So it's much easier to love him when we know how much he's loved us. And I think it's a lot easier to love him when you reflect on all the good things he's done in your life. Honestly, when I was diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome, and I was in so much pain, that pain came because my disease was one of the highest there is on the medical pain chart. And the way that I would get it through it every night is, even though I was in horrendous pain, I felt, by the way, it felt like somebody was burning my leg up, like my leg was in a campfire. Even when I was in horrendous pain, I learned a way to lift myself out of that. And that was, at the end of every day, I had a notebook beside my bed, and I would write all the good things that happened to me that day, and I would thank him for it. I would reflect on that instead of on the horrendous pain, the journey I was in, living in Arkansas, going to a clinic where they were electrocuting me every day. Instead, I was reflecting on what God, all the good things that God had done. And then the next morning when I get up, I'd pull up my list and read it again. Reading it again allowed me then in this process to continually thank him. And then by the end of the next day, I would just add to my list, and my list kept growing. And then because I had a list of good things in front of me, all those good things that he did, you know, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. The word tells us that. So let's give him thanks for every good and perfect gift. And as you do that, you will actually be able to understand his love for you. So God wants us to live from love. If we can live from love, from this place, this deep, deep, deep well of his love, our lives will be changed, and so will the people around us. Okay, second thing he said to talk about is he wants us to live in love. All right, think about that for a minute. What does that mean to live in love? Well, did anybody think about that person that you love, that friend or that spouse that you love? What's it like to live in love? You know, when you're in love, you're not paying attention to somebody else. You're paying attention to the one you love. So God said, in this second part, he said, let's talk about how to live in love. Meaning that you're so in love with him that you actually live to love him. Now, if you're experiencing him, you're going to want to get up in the morning and you're going to want to say, good morning, Lord, because you can't wait to connect with him, right? And then you're going to want to get into worship because you know that as you give thanks to the Lord and as you give praise to the Lord, that you enter his courts. So we're talking about an experiential relationship. So you're going to want to get up and you're going to want to get into worship. Yeah. Which you can do that with either through music or you can do that through just verbally telling him how much you love him. Putting your affection on him. Psalms 86:13. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. This one actually really goes along well with what I talked about earlier about making a list of all the good things that he's done. Because if you make a list of everything you've done, you're really recognizing the love that he has toward you. You recognize what he's delivered you from. Does that make sense? How many in this room has God delivered you from something? You know he has delivered you from something, at least one thing. Oh, he's been good to you. Yes. All right. So if our days are start with good morning, Lord, and worshiping, what if we take that worship all the way through our day? What if in everything that we do, we try to stay in a place where we are in love with Jesus? What if I am sitting here talking to Craig, my husband, a sweet husband who was so kind? He already talked to me all morning so I could prep this message. Hey, what if I'm sitting there talking to Craig, and while I'm talking to him, I'm also having a conversation with Jesus? How much better my relationship will be with him if I'm also having a conversation with Jesus? All you have to do to have a conversation with Jesus is say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, right? What if you stayed in a place of worship all day long because you're so in love, you really want to be with that, you want to be with him? Ooh, yeah, now it's getting good. That's why this picture up here shows the deep water, because this is where we really start living in the depths of his love, where we really start living in all that he has for us. Oh yeah, and by the way, what did Jesus say he came to give us? Abundant life. He came to give us abundant life. So these are keys actually to abundant life, living from love, understanding how much God loves us, and living in love, right? Where we're constantly taking the initiative to keeping our eyes and our attention on the Lord. So, this is the same thing that Jesus did. As I began to read the Gospels, I'm like, Jesus, I want to be like you. I actually want to be love. And I certainly haven't attained it yet. But that's what I want. That's my goal. I want to be love because you are love. I want love to come out of me because you are in me and I am in you. So I want that to flow out of me, right? That's what we want, right? So if that is what we want, then we need to take the initiative to turn our attention and our affection to him throughout our day. And Remember, Jesus said, remember me. Just remember what he did. Remember it. Thank him for it. Thank him for the fact that you do get to hear from the Lord and you get to experience him and you get to know him. Thank him for that throughout your day. All right, I've been talking and I need to get back to my notes. But sometimes, you know, when you're talking and you're following the lead of the Lord, I believe that the Lord actually has me going there. So, yes. All right, so Jesus said in John 15, let's put up John 15, 4. He said, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So Jesus, he didn't say you will abide in me. He said, abide in me. So he gave a command. He told us to do this. I believe the keys to abiding in him are to turn our attention to him throughout our day, turn our affection to him throughout our day, and then join him in whatever he's doing. Does that make sense? So if we're standing there in a conversation with somebody and we're saying, Jesus, what are you doing in this conversation? While they're talking to you, you can be Jesus, you know, I love you. You're staying in this place where you're abiding in him, you're loving him, you're talking about a continual relationship with him, right? And then you go, then you start asking important questions like, what are you doing in this? What are you doing in this conversation? What are you doing? What are you doing in this moment where I'm standing here in front of this couple I just met? What do you want to say? Oh, it gets exciting. It gets so exciting. I remember one time when I was in ministry school back in Pennsylvania, and I didn't know where I was going, so I set my navigation to go to a store. I did that because when I walked out of the school that day, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I? Now I'm having a thought that I've told you this before, but repetition's sometimes good. So, so I walked out of the school. By the way, I just asked the Lord, should I tell him this? And he said, yes. So I walked out of the school and I said, Lord, what should I do? Because I knew that I had an assignment. I had to read so much Bible every day. I had to write a paper. I had to read a book. Every 2 weeks, we had to read another book and then do a book report on it and then do a comment online. I had all these, you know, things to do for school. So I, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, go shopping. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, go shopping. I'm like, really? Yep, go shopping. I said, okay, say to me, you're the Jesus Christ who walked this earth in the flesh. And he said, I am Jesus Christ who walked this earth in the flesh. So I said, okay, I'll go shopping. So I was thinking, well, I'm going to be here for a while. I'll get a few cute things to hang on the wall because I came from an interior design background, even though I knew I wasn't going to be living in Pennsylvania for a long time. I thought it'd be nice to get a few things and maybe I'll kind of stick them in my cabin or something. So I set my navigation for Home Goods, and I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, the navigation took me the wrong direction, and I'm driving it's an electronic device, and it took me the wrong direction. Well, I think there was a divine intervention in that moment because I drove by a store called Tuesday Mornings, and I hadn't been in one of those in a while, and I thought, they have inexpensive home goods. I'll go there. So I get into the store. I purchase my little thing, and the woman that was in front of me was moving super slow. She had already purchased her item. And then I purchased my item, and she was still in front of me, like walking really, really, really slow with a cart. And I'm thinking, Lord, do you want me to pray for her? And the Lord said no. So I said, okay. So I go around her, I get in my car, I turn on my ignition, and I look up, and I see the woman now just now getting out of the car. And as she's walking across the parking lot, she's literally grimacing. She's in so much pain. I could see the pain on her face. And I'm like, Lord, are you sure you don't want me to pray for her? because now my heart was really going out to her. And then the Lord said yes. So I turned off my car, got out, and I went up to her and I said, "Are you in pain?" And she said, "Yes. I never should have come here before. I should never have done this. It's been literally like a year since I've been out of my house." And I'm like, "What?" She's like, "I have every kind of arthritis you can possibly think of. And every step is so painful. I should never have done this." So we're in the middle of the parking lot. So I said, "Well, can I help you get to your car?" So I help her get to her car and get her set down in her car. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she kind of went like this. And I go, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I pray to Jesus. That's the reason why I wear a cross every day now, because everywhere I go, I want them to know when I say, 'Can I pray for you?' that I'm a Christian." And so she said, "Yeah, okay, yeah, you can pray." So I prayed, and her pain level went from over a 10 to like a 5. And she's like, "Oh my goodness, what church do you go to?" And then I said, "Well, can I pray again? Because look what the Lord has already done." So then I prayed again, and her pain level cut in half again. And she's like, "Thank you." I go, "Don't thank me. Praise God. Let's thank God for what he's doing here." And so then I go, "Can I pray again?" She goes, "Yeah." So I pray again, and literally all of her pain leaves. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, that's what it meant to that was the outcome of living in love. So in love with Jesus that each day and every, not each week, like I used to be after I'd get done with church, not just every day, but every moment, I began to say, to look to Jesus and say, "What are you doing in this moment? What do you want me to do in this moment?" Praise the Lord. So living in love is it's like when the abundant life, this is how the abundant life comes, when we live in love, in sitting in the love of Jesus. Yeah. Remember that Jesus told us to abide. And he said to those whom who keep his commands, that sounds like a command because he's telling us to do that. To those who keep his commands, those are the ones that I no longer call servants, I call you friends. Right? He said, the word says that I've told you everything. Jesus said, "I've told you everything that the Father has told me." In the same way, he'll tell you all things. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, Psalm 91:1, let's put that up. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know what that word "dwell" means? The Greek word actually translates to stay or remain. So if we stay or remain in the way that I'm describing to you throughout your day, we stay or remain, we dwell, then we actually are abiding in the Most High. Yes. Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Ooh, I feel the presence of the Lord right now. I used to actually think that that being under the shadow of the Almighty just meant that I was covered and protected, but it's so much more than that. Under his shadow, ooh, that's where the good, abundant life happens. Yeah. So God wants us to live from love, from his love, in love. In love, we're all constantly looking at that one that we love. And then through love, our final one, through love. Oh, look at this picture. This is a picture of water being moved over dry lands. That's what happens when you live from love and in love. Then you will live true love and rivers of living water will pour out of your belly. And you'll be the ones in the parking lot saying, "Can I pray for you?" Yeah. When you are actually living through love, then you are actually making a huge difference in the world around you. And when you do that, oh my goodness, it certainly brings purpose to life. Yeah. Okay, let's go to 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. That's what this step is all about. When we start asking Jesus, how can we love the people around us? Then the love that he has fed us with, that deep, deep well of love that he has given us, right, will flow out and make a huge difference in the world around you. Let's go to Matthew 28:19 and 20. Jesus came and he said to them, Matthew 28:19 and 20. And my ESV says, and Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to follow all that I have commanded you." Ooh. "And behold, I'm with you to the end of the age." So in other words, it wasn't just for the disciples. It's for us here today. That's what he intended for us. That's how he intended us to live. And when we do that, then living from love and in love and through love, then, oh, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And that'll be because every one of us are a part of what he is doing. We are the body of Christ. Yeah. And if the body of Christ would do what he has asked us to do, abide and live from love, in love, and through love, oh my goodness, what a difference this world will. Our world would look completely different, right? Can you go to the next slide? From love, in love, and through love. And the next slide. Do you have another slide? From love, in love, and through love means that there will be a ripple effect from your life. There it is. All it takes is one touch of the Holy Spirit in you to cause a giant ripple effect in the world. Let's pray. Lord, you know that we want to do your will. And we pray, Lord, that you just make us the people that you want us to be, Lord. That you will remind us of your love. We ask, Lord, for the baptism of your love. Show us your love, Lord. And help us to live in love. Help us to abide, Lord, in every way. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to continually look to you and see what you're doing so that we can be your hands and feet here on earth. Lord, we thank you for your love. And we pray that you would well up your love in us. Well up your love in us, Lord. That we might make a difference in our world. Lord, we thank you for the ripple effect that's already happened because of our lives. And we ask for more, Lord. Yeah. We ask you, Lord, to make it known to us in every way what we need to do to be the ripple effect that you need, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel like some of you are starting to feel his love right now in a new way. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you, Lord. I feel like he wants us to step out and move toward him. So I invite you to the altar. Sometimes it takes an actual physical movement toward him. So let's all just come forward. And we're just going to end this right here. Some of us are going to have an opportunity to just meet with the Lord individually. Thank you, Lord. And prayer team, would you come forward? As our prayer team comes forward, I just want you to know that this prayer team, powerful prayer team that was praying this morning for this service, and they have your very best interest at heart, and they would love to pray for you. They've been powerfully anointed. To actually minister in this way. So I would just invite you to come and be prayed for this morning. You know, why not get every benefit he has for you? Why not? You may get a word that changes your life. And to that person that's here today, who's being called to the nations, this would be a good time to be at this altar and bring that before the Lord. Oh, the Lord is so good. I just heard the Lord say, this is the sweetest time. He said, this is the sweetest time when my people come before me. To love me. So let's just love the Lord. Is there any way we could have a song about loving the Lord? Let's all stand right now. Did you notice? I noticed because I knew what my message was. We had the most beautiful song about love. And we have people right here on this side and one down, couple down on this side that are ready to pray for you right now as well. And the Lord just said again, oh, this is just, the Lord's like, this is so sweet to me. He loves you so much. He's absolutely delighted with you. And he is going to, in you, make a big difference in your world. So thank you, Pastor Christy and Jared. Our service.
Lord, I just want to be where you are.
So let's just pray. Let's sing.